Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Yeah. Romans 13, whatever. Right, Romans 13, submitting to the governing authorities. That's been a sticky topic for a while now since coronavirus shutdown. Whether it's us as individuals and gathering together and being a part of the church or going out to in front of an abortion clinic, as I've been doing with Love Life for weeks, actually for a few years now. And actually, some pastors got arrested in Greensboro and in Charlotte, North Carolina, and a few other places around the country for daring to violate the government's edict because they felt part of their First Amendment rights to go out. And that's part of my worship. If I worship the Lord, I'm going to go out and do what I need to do to follow God. And if that means I need to disobey the governing authorities, well, I'll do that. So we have this situation brewing around the country and here in North Carolina, and it is Theology Thursday with our friends at Southeastern Baptist. We had a lull in the schedule. We'll be back at that next Thursday with Dr. Ann Greenham, who's just a fantastic authority on all kinds of world religions. So we'll go down a few different roads with him next Thursday on Theology Thursday. Today, going to stick in that vein, though, as we talk about churches disobeying the government mandate and starting to meet. And so I want to open up the phones today for you. What do you think churches should do? And if you're a pastor, by the way, feel free to call in. I'd love to hear from you at 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Should we still submit to the governing authorities and not meet? Or has the time come after a couple of months to say, yeah, not anymore? And it's time for me to obey God rather than man. We need to be gathering together. We're not going to operate out of fear. The numbers show that we actually, most of us don't have much of a concern here whatsoever in terms of threats to that. Like for all the people that want to go to church this Sunday that are between the ages of 15 and 24, well, that's not even one death per million based on the CDC numbers. If you're between 35 and 44, or 25 to 34, six deaths per million. Based on the actual numbers. So your odds are incredibly low, right? If you're 35 to 44, 17 deaths per million. If you're 45 to 54, I'm 54, 46 deaths per million. Now, as you go up to 75 to 84 years of age, okay, now we're getting to more considerable numbers, 662 deaths per million. That's still not a high percentage. You have a very, very, very low percentage of getting seriously ill and dying from COVID-19. So is it time for pastors to say, yeah, I'm not going to do that anymore? And actually, we have sheriffs doing that too. So I want to hear from you today. What do you think about pastors and churches that are now starting to defy the government order in many different states and in many different municipalities? Should they do it? Are they being good Christians? Is it time to ignore the government? Is it time to violate that rule? Or do you still keep submitting? Because the churches that I'm reading about, they're going to do social distancing as much as possible. They're trying to be all about cleanliness and having hand sanitizer and all that kind of stuff and keep the hugging and hand clasping to a minimum. But we're still going to gather. So what do you think about that? Do you think churches should or should not obey the government at this point in the game? 866-348-7884. I want to hear from you today. I get, believe it or not, get tired of my own opinion, and perhaps you do as well, but I want to hear from you today. Should churches obey or disobey the government at this point in the game? And go ahead and open up. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH, whether you're here in North Carolina or somewhere else. I want to hear your opinion on this. And if you're a pastor struggling with this, if you don't want to give your name because maybe you're flying under the radar screen on this one, that's fine. I totally understand that, but would love to hear from you. Most of my friends on Facebook Live right now, if you want to join us here in the studio and see my awesome new Star Wars t-shirt, just go to the Steve Noble Show page on Facebook, or if we happen to be personal friends on Facebook, you can do it that way. I have like three slots left on my personal Facebook page, but just go to the Steve Noble Show on Facebook and you can join us here in the studio via Facebook Live. Should they obey or should they disobey? Now here in North Carolina, this is interesting, and I want you to call in and share your opinion on that. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH, obey or disobey. Here in North Carolina, Johnston County Sheriff, all of a sudden this came up like the other day, May 14th. Today, this story came out, but in the Associated Press, a sheriff in North Carolina says his department won't enforce state guidelines limiting church attendance during the coronavirus pandemic. Johnston County Sheriff Steve Blizzle said in a letter Wednesday that the state's 10-person limit on church services was unfair and morally wrong. While retailers are continuing to operate with social distancing guidelines, Blizzle has also been part of the executive committee of the North Carolina Sheriff's Association that asked Governor Roy Cooperner to allow indoor church services last week. But actually, he telegraphed his punch a while ago, okay? Because I have a story from March 23rd, where the same sheriff, Johnston County Sheriff, said, yeah, you know what? I'm not going to do that. Down here where the rubber meets the road, he said, the people got to be fed. They have to have their food. They've got to have government services. We've got to bury the dead. And, you know, if people want to get together and pray, let them get together and pray. So he's been defying the governor's order for a couple months now, and he's not in jail. So he's gotten away with it, right? How about that? All right, I'm going to jump over to this phone call because this is a pastor friend of mine on this particular subject. Rodney, appreciate you calling in, my brother. Go right ahead.
What's going on, man?
I was wondering if you might call, so tell us what your thinking is on this.
I absolutely do think that we should open churches. I think most people think, I don't think I'm going to say anything here that most people don't feel, that if we can have vape stores open and ABC liquor, we used to call, my mother used to say that liquor stores, not liquor, liquor stores open. Yeah, you should write that down. Liquor stores open and Walmart, listen, we can have a church. I can keep our church more clean and sanitized and safe and germ-free than I certainly can at the peanut butter aisle at Walmart.
Yeah.
So I really don't understand where the problem is. I don't think most Americans, quite honestly, understand that dilemma that we can go to Walmart and there's 200 people there. It's packed, but you can't go to the church. And some churches have, 100 people, 50 people.
Right, right.
So I'm not understanding.
Well, that's a great point. Can you hold through the break, Rodney? Because I'm going to talk, because you worked with your city back in Easter, and you were working with them. If you're willing to talk about that story, I think that's worthy that people hear that. If you want to, but I know that,
Let's do it.
Okay, I'm going to put you on hold.
Let's do it.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold, Rodney. Stay there talking to Pastor Rodney here in North Carolina, and some more from his story and some awesome stuff that he's doing in his church and other churches as well.
Well, next on Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram, Chip continues his series, How to Change for the Better, by saying, life is like an iceberg. What we see above the waterline is only about 10% of what's really there. What we can't see is where the action is. So if significant changes need to be made, you got to look below the waterline. Don't miss Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. This week from Chuck Swindoll, a message on resolving conflicts within the family.
I've never known anyone who became better for holding on to bitterness. If I could get on my knees to convince you, I would plead with you to forgive or to seek the forgiveness of one you have injured.
Listen weekdays to Insight for Living with Chuck Swindoll.
When the Bible speaks of fearing the Lord, it means that our desire is to be obedient to Him out of thanksgiving, not out of terror. It means that we never deliberately or premeditatedly or angry want to offend the Lord.
Join Dr. Michael Youssef this week on Leading the Way.
In touch with Dr. Charles Stanley.
If you're going to have courage in your life and you're going to understand that God is working in your life, you got to be in the Word. This is the mind of God. This is the heart of God. If I neglect the Word of God and neglect spending time with Him, I'm not going to be strong. It's the Word of God.
In touch with Dr. Charles Stanley, helping you grow in Christ every day.
And now, today's Pathway Minute with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
The often asked question, if God is real, why hasn't he revealed himself to us? I mean, after all, if God would simply reveal himself, then nobody would have any doubts about him. That question is built upon the false premise that God hasn't revealed himself. God has revealed himself in the universe that he created. And that's why the psalmist said in Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. When famed astronaut John Glenn was 77 years old, he was invited to take a ride in the space shuttle Discovery. He looked out that spacecraft window and he made this comment. He said, to look out at this kind of creation and not believe in God is to me impossible.
Pathway Minute is produced by Pathway to Victory. To access the Bible teaching of Dr. Robert Jeffress, go to ptv.org.
Here's Dr. Charles Stanley, keeping believers in touch with God.
God has the power to put you where he wants you, when he wants you, how he wants to get you there in spite of whatever may be going on. All of life is about Jesus. It's not about men. It's about Jesus and his work in and through us. We have to trust him no matter what people may do to us or what they may feel or whatever it might be in our life. I just see how God is willing to lead us step by step. He promises that sense of direction in our life. He says, listen, his sovereignty rules over all things, all times, all people, all circumstances. You and I have one responsibility and only one. Obey him and what? Leave all the consequences to him.
For help and hope from God's Word, visit In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley at intouch.org.
When I wrote my book, The Five Love Languages of Teenagers, I was surprised to learn how many teens feel unloved by their parents.
Dr. Gary Chapman with a Love Language Minute.
It's not that the parents don't love them. The problem is that the teen does not feel loved. When teenagers feel unloved, they're far more likely to become sexually active, start using drugs, and get involved in trouble with the law. The answer? Learn to speak the love language of your teenager. What are the five love languages?
Words of affirmation, acts of service, gifts, quality time, and physical touch.
Out of these five, your teen has a primary love language. If you speak it, your teen will feel loved. If you don't, the love tank will be empty. Much of the teen's misbehavior comes from an empty love tank.
Dr. Gary Chapman is the author of The Five Love Languages. For more, visit 5lovelanguages.com.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking today on Theology Thursday about churches and pastors versus the government. Are we at the place now where churches all over the country, individual pastors, big churches, medium-sized churches, small churches should say, hey, yeah, we went along with it for a while, but we're done allowing you to trample on our First Amendment rights, and we're going to gather, and we're going to take care of ourselves, and we're going to take care of each other, and we're going to social distance as much as possible, and we're going to clean our hands, and we're going to do all those things, but we're going to gather together as well, because actually, if you know the numbers, the odds of you at any age other than above 65 or 70, the odds go up. And even then, they're very small. But for people below that age group, I mean, one in a million, three in a million, six in a million. So can we take care of ourselves? Can we take care of each other? Should we disobey the government? What do you think about that? 866-348-7884 is the number, as always, or 866-34-TRUTH. Should pastors and churches obey the government, or is it time to disobey when it comes to meeting each weekend? We're talking to Pastor Rodney that's here in North Carolina. So, Rodney, again, thanks for holding. Thanks for calling in, buddy. So tell me about what you guys did on Easter. How did that go?
Well, first of all, let me thank you for taking my call. I certainly appreciate that.
Of course.
Easter's Sunday morning, well, listen, getting up to Easter Sunday morning was a little bit hairy. I felt that, and I have been speaking to a couple of area pastors and leaders, by the way, and I felt that Easter Sunday morning was a very important day for Christians around the country, not only around the country, but around the world. I mean, Easter is a high holy day for billions of people on this planet, and for the churches and the pastors to be quarantined and people not have an opportunity to worship and you understand that, worship corporately in some way at that point, on Easter Sunday, I felt was overreach. So I began to put together a drive-in service, hoping that I could get our town to give us permission. We had all the social distancing requirements in place. There were 6 feet between the cars. People were not to get out of the cars. We did not have bathrooms available. We had our parking lot attendants who were not to even speak to people, wearing masks, wearing gloves. We did everything that was possible that we could do. And I was really trying to get our town to allow us to just do that and to allow our city to just do that. And getting up to that, it wasn't looking really good. And if they had not ultimately given us that authority, that permission, I'm talking about the town of Apex.
Yeah.
Working with Mayor Jacques Gilbert, shout out to Mayor Jacques. Mayor Jacques 2024.
Amen. And,
yeah, Mayor Jacques Gilbert 2024, shout out. And so, you know, we're working really, really hard to get that done. We actually did get it done at the 11th hour. We had a wonderful, wonderful Easter service. A couple of 2 or 3 weeks later, we at that point, then the order from the governor, I believe, it changed where people could drive up. They could have drive-in church, just not get out of the car and all of the things that we just talked about, of which we then had another service. And even just last Sunday, we had a Mother's Day service. The order changed again, and now you could drive up and get out of your car maintaining 6 feet, you know, social distancing. And so we did that on this past Sunday. I think that now it is time for churches to stand up. You know, it has been said that evil prevails when good men do nothing. So, and I just heard as I was on the break, I think it was Chuck Swindoll who was talking about the Christian, or was that I forget who what preacher it was, but they said he said that Christians have one duty. Did you hear this?
I didn't.
It said Christians have. Okay, it said Christians have. Listen to your break during your break, and he said that Christians have one duty, and that is to obey God and leave the consequences to Him.
Wow. Yep. There you go. So what's the next step?
That's
profound and prophetic and great timing, obviously. Mm-hmm. So what's next for you guys, Pastor?
Well, I am at this point. I'm going to be talking to some area churches, and I'll be quite honest with you. I believe the church as a whole, not only here in North Carolina, but I think around the country, has done a very, very good job at obeying the laws of the land. And I don't know one pastor, and I know thousands from coast to coast, and I don't know one pastor who is wanting to be in a place of rebellion against the king, if you will. But I do think that it is time for the church to stand up. It is time for the church to say no more, because I think that we're getting to a point where, you know, we're talking about the pandemic.
Yeah.
And we don't want the cure to be worse than the disease. So now we're looking at an economic pandemic. And I believe what is to follow next is a spiritual pandemic. Mm-hmm. Because churches and leaders, I believe we are at a place now where we're disobeying the word of God. Where the Bible tells us to give the right hand of fellowship, well, we can't do that. Where the Bible tells us to greet each other with a holy kiss, well, we can't do that. Where the Bible tells us that we are to not forsake to assemble ourselves together as a matter of some, well, we can't do that either. So what we're doing is, I think we're leading ourselves up to a spiritual pandemic, because ultimately, what's going to happen is churches and the people in this church is going to change. You know, we've been hearing a lot of talk about this is going to change the way we mobile and the way our new normal.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm afraid as a pastor, I'm afraid. I've been pastoring for 25 years. I'm afraid that the new normal is going to be people decide, well, I could just stay home.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
We did the whole Facebook Live. Are you following me?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm totally with you.
So we did the Facebook Live thing, and hey, well, that wasn't so bad. I mean, I have church on Sunday, and Pastor Rodney and my pastor was on the screen, and they got new cameras, and it all looks nice. I'll just stay home. Well, listen, if we continue to encourage that kind of behavior,
yeah,
what we're going to be doing is setting our people up to disobey the word of God.
Yeah.
Not only that, but as leaders, sometimes it's time to stand up and say, enough. Now it's time to stand for the church.
Amen.
Again, good men do nothing, evil prevails. So the next step for me is just that. I'm going to be standing up for the church. Have you heard, did you hear about the march downtown in Raleigh today?
Yeah, that was happening today. Yeah, Pastor Ron Beatty leading that. And then there's 3,000 churches in California. The Church United is about 3,000 churches in California, 2.5 million members in the Golden State. They already put it out there. They're going back to church on the 31st of May. They don't care what Gavin Newsom says. And I've got another pastor's calling in the fourth segment of the show today, Brian Gibson. He's got a four-location church, Texas and Kentucky. And he started something called PeaceablyGather.com. And he's calling pastors out as well. And he's going back to church this Sunday. So, yeah, this is starting to happen nationwide. And definitely, I think the time is right. And you've made some great points.
I think the
time
is right.
Absolutely. God bless you, brother.
It's time to call them out. And tomorrow you're going to see a video and a petition. I'm going to be calling out the pastors of North Carolina to join me on May 31st, 2020. Amen. May 31st, 2020 is the birthday of the church, the 2,000-year birthday.
Pentecost Sunday, baby.
The Pentecost Sunday, baby.
That's
and
awesome.
I'm calling pastors May 31st, 2020. I'll put a video, sign the petition. Let's meet as churches on the 31st of this month.
Thank you, Pastor Rodney. Great to hear from you, my brother. I love you. Appreciate you. Thanks so much.
God bless you. Thank you for the time.
You too. Pastor Rodney Finch, Calvary Chapel, APEC. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday, setting aside our usual time with some of the great PhD professors out here at Southeastern Baptist to just kind of diving into this topic today, which is also part of a theological conversation. Should churches continue to stay closed? Some people would cite Romans 13, neighborly love, whatever direction you might go there. And then other people are saying, no, you know, we did that for a while, but now enough is enough. We need to start gathering back together. And Pastor Rodney Finch from Apex Calvary, Calvary Chapel Apex here in North Carolina in the Raleigh-Durham area, making a great case about several things that by obeying that government mandate right now, there's other things that you necessarily have to disobey in terms of actually gathering together. And he didn't mention laying hands on one another, right? And praying and do that in a church setting. So it's an interesting topic. Many people are struggling with it, but there's a growing number of pastors and churches around the country that are saying, sorry, we're not going to obey that anymore. We're going to open up. 3,000 churches in California started that. They're saying that they're going to go back on the 31st. And then a pastor out of Texas and Kentucky, Pastor Brian Gibson, who we're going to talk to in the last segment of the show today, started something called PeaceablyGather.com. And his church, his all four locations of his, and he's encouraging others to go back to church this Sunday, the 17th. So we'll see what happens there. What do you think? Keep them closed or time to open? Which would you prefer? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH? I'm going to go to Julie, who's calling in from North Carolina. Julie, thanks so much for calling. Sorry to keep you on hold for a while. Go right ahead.
Oh, no, thanks for taking my call, Steve. This is the first time I've called in. You really struck a chord with this question, and the open churches are not, and I just don't think it's as black and white as it seems. With the new pandemic, everybody's on a new learning curve here, what to do or how to do it, and it's scary. And I, you know, it's hard sitting home. It's hard being home and not being social. It's hard staying away from family. That's really, really hard. But to jump right back into church so quickly and so fast, I think it's just kind of scary. And there's people, and especially for the older community or people who are, my husband has a heart issue and his asthma. So he's not a great candidate to get this virus. So, and you know, that said, it's like this sanctity of life. Where does that, you know, where is that in this picture?
Right.
And another thing, my sister-in-law, she runs a retirement community in Wisconsin, and my husband just told me that half of all their elderly patients passed away because of the virus.
Oh, yeah, because it's horrific in the older community. And now what if Julie, if your church says, okay, we're going to have church this Sunday, but we want to really encourage our older members, because this is a totally different story for you if you're older or if you have autoimmune things, and even maybe have a list of things and say, if this is you, we would encourage you actually not to come. But if you're younger and you're healthy, and if you want to come out, we're going to be here, but certainly not forcing anybody, not shaming anybody. Would you appreciate an approach like that, Julie, especially given your own situation?
I would appreciate a lot more, and especially with kids. You know, again, my son has a new daughter, baby daughter, and they're not taking her anywhere. They're not taking a chance. It's off the table. So I respect and appreciate that. And I haven't been able to hold her for months now, and it's just really hard. But it's coming around. It's coming around. And but the thing, another thing is just, I feel bad enough not going to church. And I read the Bible every day, okay? It took me a long time to get to that point, and I just finished reading the entire Bible, studying it, not just reading it fast, studying it, and now I'm starting over again in the New Testament, and it's just amazing. So, you know, to say that people are falling away from the faith because they're not in church is just not true. And there's so many other Christian people out there who do the same thing all the time, every day, too. It's not something you fall away from that easy.
Right. Those are good points, Julie, and I appreciate you calling in, especially taking a contrary position to my own. And I appreciate that, because that's how we have these conversations, and we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we need to be able to have the conversations and go, okay, and we appreciate each other and can respect each other's opinions. And those are valid points that need consideration, and I really appreciate you calling in and sharing those today.
Yeah. Great. All you have to do is really just talk the gospel and people listen.
I think it's a great opportunity. And Julie, again, I really appreciate you calling and sharing that. And it's a great opportunity for that. And for Julie, for you and your son and granddaughter and everybody else, or grandson, I don't recall which one, they have a right to stay home, and other people have a right to venture back out. And I think Pastor Rodney's point, though, is valid, that people that stay away from church and just kind of do it online, what they're actually end up doing is they're staying away from the church body as well, and they're isolating. And the only person that's ever walked the face of the planet that can handle isolation for any length of time is Jesus Christ himself. Everybody else, I'd like to think people are doing that, but to gather together as the saints, to come together, God built us to be a body, not to live in isolation, but to live in community. So if he shut that off for a long period of time, because of man's sinfulness and temptation and all the other things, I agree with Pastor Rodney. I think that's very dangerous. Let's jump over here to Gene, who's calling in also from North Carolina. Sorry to keep you holding, Gene. Go right ahead.
Oh, that's okay, Steve. My stance is I think the churches should open, and I really base it on Acts 5 when the priests and the Sadducees showed their indignation against Peter and the apostles. That's what the government is doing with the churches, I think, and when they put them in prison and the angel of the Lord got them out, the same God that's going to get us out of prison is going to be the same one. And when he told them to go and stand in the temple to all the people and speak the words that he had spoke to them, which is the words of life, and then when, of course, they were approached again by the same government, I'm calling everybody government, but they said that I would rather obey God than man. And I think it's just been too long for the churches to remain silent. And I was glad to hear the pastor talking about what they're going to do. And this thing on May 31st when California, I think is awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think the time has come. I agree with you. I totally agree with you. Gene, thanks so much for calling in. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you. And that's the thing. This is delicate, okay? So you don't run down this road and not pay attention to things, and you certainly don't open up a church or have this conversation to the exclusion of the people who actually are very vulnerable. And again, that's pretty much, I would pen that in terms of people that are really vulnerable based on the numbers. Now, these are based on CDC numbers, and I'm going to bring these up again because you have to deal with this. This is the reality. This is based on the CDC numbers of actual deaths here in America through May 8th as a result of the coronavirus, which we know are elevated. Dr. Birx has said they could be elevated. She said, reported in a meeting last week, that Dr. Birx said she can't trust anything the CDC is sending her because their systems are so antiquated. And she said in that, it's reported that she said that could be as much as 25% high. But let's assume that they're not. Let's assume that the CDC numbers are perfectly accurate. Okay. So then you go, okay, so we keep the churches shut down, but what are the risks that we run? And I appreciate what Julie said calling in earlier, but you don't have to go to your local church. If you're not comfortable, if you're older, if you have conditions that make you more susceptible, you don't have to go there. But what about the people that are between 5 and 14 years of age? What about our younger people? Because that's 0.07 per person per million that have died. 0.07. That's 0.07 of one person has died per million in America. Okay? Based on the CDC numbers. Let's go up to the next group, 15 years of age to 24 years of age. Almost one person per million has died. One per million. So if you have 10 million of those in your state, people between the ages of 15 and 24, 10 or what is that? 10 million of them, one per million, you're going to have 10. Based on the CDC numbers nationwide, 10 will die from COVID-19. So is that enough of a case? I mean, your odds of dying from car wrecks, about 655,000 heart disease things per year, other situations. I mean, you can't sanitize all of life. It's appointed for men to die once and then face judgment. Everybody's going to die. Now you don't go act stupidly or irresponsibly. But that's one per million. And 25 to 34, 6.1 per million have actually died in the United States as a result of COVID-19. This is based on CDC numbers. 35 to 44 years of age, 17 per million. So you see your odds. If you want to know your odds, I'm in the group 45 to 54. I'm about to leave. I'll leave the 54 group next February. But right now, I'm at the upper end of that. 46 per million have died in America. So for me, at the age of 54, if I want to figure out what are my chances of dying from COVID-19 based on who actually has died from COVID-19, allegedly, here in America, if it's 46 per million, then I simply divide 46 by 1 million. I'm doing it right now. And I get 0.000046 times 100 to move the decimal place over. I've got a 0.0046 chance of dying from COVID-19. I'm going to roll my dice on that one and go to church. What about you? This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Because you are more than I could ever dream. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Today on Theology Thursday, we normally would be talking to one of our professor friends here at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Had a little lull in the schedule as they're dealing with all kinds of crazy stuff, as you would know, as you could imagine from everything going on. But today, talking about kind of government versus pastors and churches and opening and staying closed. And I appreciated that most people, pastors and churches included, first few weeks, okay, we don't know a lot about what's going on here. We can't really tell. We're willing to set aside what we could obviously claim as our constitutional rights. Okay. And I think our government, to a certain extent, knew that they could take advantage of the good-naturedness of most American citizens. And so we all kind of agreed. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 7 weeks. And now businesses are open. Liquor stores are open. Vape stores are open. All these places are open. But a church? No, you guys can't be open. So that's an unequal application of the law, which means the law is unjust, unjust on its face. Okay, that's the deal there. And now pastors around the country starting to show up and stand up and say, yeah, we're going back to what the Lord has called us to do. We talked to Pastor Rodney French from Calvary Chapel here in Apex, North Carolina. We talked about what was going on in California. But then another pastor that's gotten out there, which we praise the Lord for that, is Pastor Brian Gibson, the senior pastor of his church, which has four locations, two in Texas and then Kentucky, standing up and started peaceablygathered.com. And is going back to be in his father's house this Sunday. Pastor Brian Gibson, welcome to the show, brother. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, Steve, and it's an honor to be here with you. Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome, and I appreciate you getting out ahead of this. So kind of tell us what the what the kind of the development of this has been, and you heard what my opening comments were, but how you kind of handled it at first, and what brought you to the point where you're saying declaratively, okay, we're getting back into the church this Sunday?
Well, it was just what you said, Steve. We were all good-natured. You know, we're in the healing business and the helping business, and whenever they started saying a potential 3, 4, 5% death loss, you know, that's something you have to stop and seriously consider. Because they're giving you rates and, you know, predictions that are like the Black Plague. So the people that are sensible and logical, they think about that, and they're like, hey, we want to protect our people. So like everybody else, I took my church online, and we started doing everything cyber and everything safe because we love humanity and we want to be caring and compassionate. And we were willing to do that for quite a while. But then these all of the just running roughshod over our religious liberties started to show up and blow up in our faith. And it really all kind of came to a culmination at Easter for us. So on Easter Sunday, we went all online. Then we decided we're going to do a drive-through Easter egg handout to kids. You know, you got your characters from your kids' church waving, and everybody was social distance. There was only a few people there. We packed the eggs with candy 10 or 5 days before. Everybody's wearing masks or gloves. And the health department calls me that day or calls my office that day and says, hey, you need to refrain. You can't have this or pretty much we're going to shut you down. Hmm. And I hate that I complied that day because looking back, hindsight's 20/20, but I would never comply to that now. Because my congregation in Owensboro, the few of them that are working that day because of the policy, are standing on the lot of the church looking across the road at all of the fast food joints handing out french fries.
Yeah.
They see the liquor stores serving their patrons, right? The coffee shops pushing lattes and breves. And a teenage kid can serve french fries, but a Christian can't give candy to kids in the name of Jesus. It's obviously, it made us ask, is it religious targeting? And I think the obvious answer is yes.
And so
that lit a fire in our hearts.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. I was at, we had one of those kind of reopen rallies here in North Carolina in Raleigh, which is where I'm at, which is the state capital, several weeks ago, and a police officer came over. It was the first one. There were a couple hundred people there. And then he started talking to everybody about social distancing, and this one woman said, hey, I'm here with my kids. We live in the same house. We don't have to social distance. And he goes, well, how am I supposed to tell who here is family and who isn't? And I was doing a Facebook Live, and I walked away a few feet because I was like, okay, there's the problem. Because if you cannot assert and enforce a law equally across all the different realms, then that's an unjust law. And like you said, liquor stores open, vape stores open. You can go to – apparently Pine Straw and Pansies are essential business because you can go do that at Home Depot or Lowe's and all these other places. Yet a house of worship, in this case a Christian church, we can't. And you got to wonder what's going on there. And you're in the state of Texas where most people would assume, well, hey, that's a red state. But we see these problems across the state, all 50 states. How's your church reacted to what you're doing now, Pastor?
You know, actually, I'll say this. I'll tip my hat. God bless Texas. The governor of Texas was so much better than the governor of Kentucky. Right? Governor Abbott did a tremendous job handling this. When you compare and contrast to the state I was raised in and where two of our campuses are in Kentucky with Governor Beshear, I'm thankful for that. But our congregation is, I think they're excited. I think they're rallying. I think the people want to go back to church. Now, we're not just asking people to make a mad, crazy dash into the church.
Right.
You know, we want to be constitutional, but we want to be caring and compassionate. And so we're thinking this through. So what I'm asking guys to do is take a measured approach. We're following the protocols, right? We're going to be good boys and girls. We're going to sit with families, and we're going to social distance in the church. We're going to count people into the sanctuary, make sure we have a limited capacity, and when it's full, it's full. You got to come back to the next service or go to an overflow or watch them in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Cleaning procedures are ramped up. I just want people to know it's really about our choice of freedom of worship for me.
Yeah, that's right.
For every American, Christian or non-Christian, right? This isn't a Christian issue. It is. But it's a religious liberty issue also for all of America. So our people are excited. There's always people that disagree with a stance like this. So I have my critics, and nationally now, And it didn't take long. So, but that's America.
It never
does. And that's what makes America great.
Yeah, that's
right. And I think it's what makes our churches great, because I can have people here that are part of his church that disagree with me wholeheartedly, but we love each other and care for each other. Amen. And I think that's the fabric and the beauty of the red, white, and blue.
Amen. I'm right there with you. Tell us about peaceablygathered.com, because I know that's a part of this effort, and calling pastors and churches nationwide to partner up on that.
Hey, we're calling priests, pastors, clergymen, rabbis, you name it, Muslim leaders, any religious leader you can think of. If you'll take your people back, we want to ask you to take them back this Sunday. And you could go to peaceablygathered.com. I know it's late in the game. It's Thursday afternoon. And so if you can't get it together, I know it's hard, how hard it can be to get teams going when you've been disassembled for 8 weeks now, I think. It's all running together. If you can't go this week, sign up and say, we'll go next week, or we'll go Pentecost Sunday. But sign up and don't let the government tell you when and how you can worship, because every day our churches are closed, liberty dies.
Yeah, that's right.
Every day our churches are closed, liberty dies. So they can go to peaceablygathered.com, sign up there. And right now we have something up. If they'll go there, we'll send them an email. Their name will be generated on the list. These guys, this weekend, we have selection of things that they can read from the Constitution. It's a short bit that they can read to their congregation. We're going to video that and put a collage together up, or kind of a mashup video, plus reading the Constitution and send it out everywhere.
Yeah,
because we want people to see the pastors that will stand up, and we can stand together.
Yeah, wonderful. I really appreciate that, Brian, and thanks for standing up and doing your part, and we got to remember that we're all in this together. And even for those that are non-religious, don't have any interest in church, when religious liberty is dying, political liberty is dying right alongside of it. All of those things are in the same boat. When liberty goes, it all goes. And right now, the entire liberty structure of this country is under assault, whether you're a Christian or not. And we all need to do our part to stand up against that. And I really appreciate what you're doing, Pastor. Pastor Brian Gibson, there at his church in Texas and Kentucky. Peaceablygathered.com is the website. God bless you, brother. Really appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you, sir. God bless.
You're welcome. We'll talk again. And there you go. You can check that out. You can share that. We'll share that on the Facebook page right now. Peaceablygathered.com. And yes, there is, and folks are saying, hey, we need to, what about Romans 13? I get it, but what about Acts 5? And there is a time, because that was the governing authorities at the time, Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Jewish governing authorities at the time, who also had some authority because of Caesar, who were saying, yeah, you got to quit preaching in the name of Jesus. What would you do there? What do you think would happen on this show if the FCC told me, yeah, you can't keep saying stuff about, you can't decry, you can't speak out against homosexuality or transgender stuff, you can't speak out against abortion because that's legal, and that's hate speech, and you need to stop, and you can't keep saying that Jesus is the only way, and if you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to go to hell. You can't do that. That's all hate speech. You can't do it. What do you think I would do? You think I'd shut up? No, of course not. I'd keep doing exactly what I'm doing now. I wouldn't stop. I'd keep going. As a, you know, I must obey God rather than man. You need to come arrest me? I'm on the campus of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. You can go to my website, email me. Fine, no problem. You do what you got to do, I'm going to do what I got to do. And for a while, everybody was in agreement. Okay, fine. And again, churches are not forcing people to come in. Pastor Brian Gibson and his church not forcing people to come in. They're going to maintain social distancing. They're going to have a certain number of people that they can properly social distance in their four locations. And when they get to that number, they shut the doors. They're doing the exact same thing that's supposed to be happening in grocery stores, in Home Depots, and Lowe's. So if you're going to say the church can't, then you're going to have to shutter all those other things too, which means you're going to go have to return the paint and the pansies and the pine straw that you bought over the last few weeks, right? Sorry, I'm getting all up in your business. But that's a little bit of what God has called me to do. So anyway, there you go. I'm with that pastor. I'm with all the other pastors. Take precautions. Be safe. Love your neighbor. Know the numbers. Know the facts. And there comes a time to disobey man and obey God. I think that time has arrived. I think we've passed that time, actually. And so go to church. Go to church. And if you don't want to, you don't have to. Praise the Lord for that free will and that constitutional liberty you have as well. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.